The good Lord gave us dominion over all living things, but he did not leave any directions. And so what we do is what we always do best. We choose up sides and we fight about it. Today we head to where the fight is red hot to ask, can we save our forests by exploiting them?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1170th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Christchurch who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, imagine you are given a small parcel of land with a caveat. You may not enter that land except to put out the fires. That's all you can do. No digging, fertilizing, watering, pruning, or harvesting. Just put out the fires and allow the land to fend for itself. Now, if you were to return to that land after 50 years, you would likely find a jumble of growth ready to combust at the first opportunity. And that is pretty much what happened in California this year, as forests filled with fuel caught fire and then were graced by devil winds that turned burning embers into flaming bullets. Thousands are now homeless, and the companies that insure California homes against fire are headed for the border. What to do? Well, we'll do what we always do, which is choose up sides and argue about it, I guess. One side of the argument has maintained that we must preserve our forests and the wildlife they contain by keeping people out of the forest. The other side says we must tend the forest as we would our gardens, which means allowing people to harvest the fruits of those forests. Today we're going to explore the possibility that we might save our forests and the wildlife they contain by exploiting their resources. Here to guide us for a walk in the woods, we have a genuine woodsman. His name is Warren Knox. People in this area of the world, here in the Central Coast, know him as the purveyor of Knox Roofing. And I have a Knox roof on my house. And also the Knox Garden Box, which is a garden in a box for city people. Warren, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks for having me here, Michael.
So, you know, I've known you for a long time, and a lot of people here know you as the roofing guy or the Knox Garden Box guy, but I also know you as a woodsman, and you've been a woodsman pretty much all your life, haven't you?
I have. I've been in the wood industry my whole life, starting from a little child in Mendocino County, working in a sawmill.
For your grandpa, right?
And father. Right, yeah.
So you've always been a woods person, and you're working in woods still.
Still today. Love wood.
Love wood.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. Why do you love wood so much?
Because it does so much for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things you can do with a tree, from furniture to heating your home. Goes both ways.
Now, As a person who grew up in the forest, you kind of develop that's how you make your living, right?
That's how you make your living, of course.
So you make a living from the land. Now, city people who don't make their living from the land look at that land and think how pretty it is and what we have to do to protect it and save it. Now, some time ago, many years ago, as a matter of fact, I interviewed on the Food Chain Patrick Moore, who was the founder of Greenpeace. And he made the astounding assertion that you have to chop down trees to save them, for which he was pretty much booted out of Greenpeace. But it really describes two different ways of looking at the world, does it not? Where was Patrick Moore coming from in your estimation as a woodsman yourself?
Well, you can't exploit the forest completely. You do need to use it, but you do have to leave trees out there to continue to grow. It's not something that is going to grow back They did a lot of clear cutting years ago, and the trees will come back, but it takes probably about 150 years for that forest to grow back. And they don't let you do much clear cutting anymore.
Right. Do you think that was a big mistake on the part of forestry that they did the clear cutting? Because that's what people, city people, saw.
Well, the clear cutting was an easier way to extract the wood. Trying not to be so careful with logging is what clear cutting did, is that it allowed the forester to go in and completely take everything, brush down to nothing, and let the land regenerate itself by, of course, replanting. You had to replant as well. You just couldn't take all the trees without putting at least a dozen trees back for every one you cut. So it was those forests are coming back, but slowly.
Now, having been raised in the Northern California, there was fishing. It's gone. There was timber, kind of gone too. There was cannabis. And now that it's becoming legal, maybe not such a good crop to be growing up there anymore. What happens to people who live in the country when they lose their ability to exploit nature, to tend the garden, as it were?
Well, then it just grows wild, and you, no one benefits from it, is the bottom line there, is that cannabis is usually a small plot of land where a forest is of, can be thousands and thousands of acres. So it's a little different setup there. And, of course, that's what they're making up in these hills now to try to pay for things is through you know, a little bit of logging going on yet, but not like it was, for sure.
So what then happens to the people who lived in the country? I mean,
they can't survive.
They have to move in the town, right?
They have to move. That's what I did. I actually left the logging industry and moved down to the Bay Area to make a living, because the money just wasn't there
anymore. So we moved to town. And those of us in the city have a different way of looking at the country than do the country people. Is that not right?
Oh, yes. We, you know, the everything is at the grocery store, and everything is right in your within reach of what you want is usually it right down the street, where in the country, you got to go out and get it.
You got to go out and get it.
Yeah.
Now, city people have, I think, a way of idealizing what the country looks like, because it's pretty. It's something pretty. You get in your car and you go to the country and you walk in the woods and you say, gosh, this is so beautiful. Country people who have to live in that see it as a little bit different. You know, it's kind of a garden or a farm that you really have to tend to survive in it. Now, it's really kind of analogous to the story of the reintroduction of the wolf into the wilds of the Northwest and whatnot. City people see those wolves in a very idealistic terms. They're beautiful, they're wild, and they line the Lamar River Valley roads and watch for the wolves, you know. But those, to a cattleman or to somebody who lives in the country and makes their living from the country, those wolves are ferocious critters. I saw a wolf pelt 7'1" from tail to nose. That's a monster. And so you see them, there's two different ways of looking at these things.
Yes, and I always like to look at a forest with the analogy of if you've ever planted carrots from a seed. Carrot seeds are really, really tiny. And in order for a carrot garden to grow, you dump a lot of the seeds into the ground, and you have to thin those carrots out, or you're not going to have much of a carrot crop. So that's what our forests are ended up looking like, is a big carrot patch that's never been thinned. And you get virtually nothing out of a forest where if you were to just go in and thin that forest, you would end up with better carrots.
We quit thinning the forest, didn't we?
We quit thinning the forest. It's too...
How long ago?
It's been a long time. you know, back when they were logging the old growth trees and the bigger trees, you know, which was 40, 50 years ago, you know, you could get to the big trees now, but now the big trees are protected, as well as the, now we've got the smaller ones that are harder to get to because of the trees in the way.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, we stopped tending the garden.
Stopped tending the garden.
Yeah. What happened to the gardens when you stopped tending them?
They
turn into a big weed patch.
Or a big fire, as we just are seeing.
Here we go, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're talking with Warren Knox, who is a woodsman. He grew up in the woods, worked in the woods, makes his living with wood now. And he came to me with a very interesting idea on how we can exploit our forests and save them. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back, and folks, we had one heck of a fire season here in California this year. Unbelievable. Warren, you're a longtime woods person. What the heck happened to us there?
Well, we let things grow. Things grow out there. You get water and sun and things grow, and that's nothing wrong with that. But you got a lot of things that grow besides trees. There are things that can be of monetary value, such as weeds and grasses and brushes. Those things grow just as much as trees do. And that was a big part of our problem this year, was everything was growing. Mm-hmm. And throw a little air and a fire at it, and off it goes.
Off it goes.
Yeah.
Now, traditionally, there's always been fire. I mean, even in the traditional Indian cultures of the West, the Indians would light the prairie afire and burn things up. And in that burning, they would reduce the number of bad plants like cactus, you know, burn the cactus back. And they would stimulate growth of the grasses, which would feed the animals, which would feed them. So it seems like fires have always been a significant part of the environment.
It is, but the problem is they didn't burn 259,000 acres at one time. That was the thing. They were able to control it so that it didn't get out of hand. Mm-hmm. They were pretty good environmentalists, Indians back in the day.
Now, we've been preventing fires. We've been aggressively fighting fires for a long time, have we not?
Oh, yeah. We spend about 10... We burn 10 million acres of forest every year in the United States. 10 million acres are burned.
Not by purpose, though.
Not by purpose.
So the forests burn.
Forests burn every year.
Okay. And the problem seems to be in these inhabited areas where we build a lot of houses. You can't just let the fires go.
Well, no, you can't. That's the problem, is that we've all moved out of the city into the rural and mountain areas, and that's what has made it tough to have fire and man in the same environment.
Now, one thing that really seems to have exacerbated these fires lately is the devil winds. And they really are devil winds.
Yes, the winds are the only thing that truly burns is oxygen. So you get a fire, a bunch of oxygen, and it's going to go. And when you get a fire that's taking over thousands of acres, there's quite a big fire to try to stop. It's very difficult.
Where did we get the winds?
Well, they've always been the Diablo winds, or what we get up here, in the Santa Ana winds. They've always been they're the southern winds. So both those two things have always been out there. It's just that we haven't had the fuel with those winds. So you get a little match going, and off it goes. So we've got to clean up our land a little better than we've been doing in the past if we're going to live amongst the trees.
Well, that was really where you came in. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat here. You said there's a way of doing that.
There is a way of doing that, and that is by thinning it out and turning all waste products into a pellet form, into a wood pellet.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work?
Well, the problem with burning and the forest fires is that all the smoke that you saw coming into California this year was actually trees that were not burned correctly. It was too much carbon dioxide.
Kind of like making charcoal.
Yeah, the trees didn't burn, and it was just too much. So you have to burn things more completely in order to get the smoke down. So by eliminating water from products is how you will get things to burn more cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking a piece of wood and grinding it up into the smaller piece to where you can control the combustion rate of it will definitely have a viable way to.
So what you're saying is that if we actually were proactive and went in and cleaned the forest of the scrub and whatnot, turned them into pellets.
Correct.
And the pellets could be induced to burn more cleanly. But doesn't that freak out the environmental community
Well, you have to burn. It's either going to burn in the forest and burn your house down, or you're going to use it. It doesn't necessarily have to burn either. A lot of pellets can be used for horse bedding and other forms of products that feed. It can be turned into feed. Grasses are food for animals. So if you go to the feed store, you will see that you can buy a bale of hay, or you can buy a bag of pellets in the same form. So you can take and turn fuel, so to speak, into food as well as for mulch for your garden, for the Knox Garden Box, or or for burning. And I cook with my pellets every single day.
So then the secret then is drying it out, getting the water out of it, out of the wood. Creating little tiny pellets that have more surface and therefore can burn cleaner, and probably using oxygen.
That's the secret. If you look at the pellet barbecues, which is what I was just referring to, there is a little blower that's attached to that barbecue, and it feeds oxygen to that pellet, so that pellet is burning so clean that I have very, very little ash when the burning is done. I don't have to clean my barbecue very often because it burns so cleanly.
So it's almost like taking things down to the essential minerals.
Correct. And then those ashes, again, are minerals that can be put in your garden. You take that ash, like back in the day when we used to use a lot of fireplaces, that's how I heated our home as a child, was only through a fireplace.
Right.
And there would be a lot of ash in the bottom of the fireplace. That ash can be used in your garden and do
absolutely
a lot. Yeah, very good.
So this is very interesting, because what you're talking about is tending the garden by going in and cleaning the weeds and the shrubs.
Correct.
And dead trees even.
Right. The governor this year allowed you to go in and thin larger trees this year, or to take larger trees without so much regulation, so that a landowner could now go in and extract not only the weeds and the brush that is costly to remove. He would also allow you to take a tree that could be turned into lumber and help pay for that expense.
Now, is this something new? Because I've heard from a lot of people who say they tried to go in and clean up their land, and they weren't allowed to use any equipment. They had to hire people.
Yeah, that's the big thing is you have to be careful how you extract that wood out. Mm-hmm. I think that there are ways to do it, both mechanically and through manual labor. We have a lot of people in our prisons that can be used for that, or we can take people who are just needing a job and put them out there to help get things, but there are places that you just, it's just not viable to be walking in there with a chainsaw. You have to do it with equipment.
Well, this is pretty interesting. Warren Knox says we can turn that trash in the forests into economically viable products, fuel.
And food.
And food.
Yes.
Wow. And all we have to do is go to work and do it.
Go to work. Get out there and go and clean up our forest so that what went on this year doesn't happen again.
Well, when we come back, I'd like to ask, just how do we go out into the forest and do this work? Because I've been out there myself, and you have too, and you know it's hard work, right?
It is hard work.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain, Michael Olson with Warren Knox and you. We are always available on the web at foodchainradio.com. Join us there. We will be right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is The Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, today we're talking about using the forest to save it. You know, folks have set aside the forest for 50 years ago, wouldn't let anybody go in there and exploit it, cut the trees down, use them. And so the forest just kind of ran wild, as a child might, if you turn them loose. And so today we're talking about using them, going into the forest, extracting the scrap wood, cleaning the forest, so it's not so filled with so much fuel as it as we have allowed it to over the past 50 years. With us today, Warren Knox. He is a longtime woodsman, grew up in the woods, makes his living with woods, and has some really interesting ideas about how we could go into the forest, grab the scrap in there that's causing us so much trouble, turning it into something we can really use. He calls them pellets, wood pellets.
Pellets.
Now, how long has this technology been available, Warren?
I got extremely excited about this about 45 years ago.
So it's been around for a long time then.
It has, yes. And we've always had pellet machines. Like mm-hmm. I say, we've been making pellets for feed for a long time. The pellet for heating your home was very popular for a while there, but it got to be a little bit cumbersome of carrying bags into your house and dumping pellets into a stove and that type of thing. Today, there are furnaces and apparatuses that you can put outside of your home, such as you would have a propane tank outside of your house. You would have a bin of pellets. And you have a thermostat inside your home that you would turn on. You don't even know that there's a fire burning outside your home. There is some really neat things in the marketplace today that you wouldn't even know you're burning wood.
Wow. But to burn those pellets, you have to go out and get the wood and turn it into pellets. So
correct.
Take us out in the woods and tell us how we go about doing
okay,
this.
Okay, so you're going to go out to the woods with your pickup truck, so to speak, on a small scale. And you're going to load up your pickup truck with a bunch of brush. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be paid so much a pound for that wood. And the way that it's going to be paid for is its BTU content.
Oh, energy.
Energy.
Right.
So you will take it to a recycling center, which can be even your local dump or a business on its own. And they will reward you for that effort that you've done, and that will then be mm-hmm.
well, you know,
such as an aluminum can, right. Beer can that you pick up on the road.
It would seem to make sense then for people who are doing this to drag a big chipper out into the forest, right?
Well, yeah, that would be the best way of doing it. As chippers and grinders, that's what is going to be the next step, is to take that wood and to grind it into as small a piece as you can possibly get, so that we can get the water out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then you dry it. Just
dry it. It can be dried through using wood again to dry it, or it can be done naturally.
Which would be spreading it out like raisins.
Correct. Right.
Okay. Right. Get it really dry. And then, so you see this wood scrap as becoming economically viable.
Oh, yes. We're going to have to do something more with our energy. Unless we want to go out here and drill oil out in the bay out here, we're going to have alternative energy to help fuel things.
Mm-hmm. Well, this seems to be going in exactly the opposite direction, though, that the environmental community wants us to go. They don't seem to be jumping up and down at the prospect of wood-burning fireplaces, be they pellet or not.
Well, that's true, but they're unaware of what's available out there. They just look at the fact that trees are being cut down. But if you were to look at, well, everybody knows what went on this year.
Yeah.
The amount of wood that went into carbon dioxide that went into our atmosphere this year is worse than everybody in the entire country burning their fireplace is what it amounted to.
It did. It was just incredible. Yeah. For those of us who were downwind, oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, it was very unhealthy for a lot of people.
So this seems to be kind of turning everything upside down. So we're actually thinking about going back to that which has always sustained us, which is wood.
Wood has been here for millions of
forever.
Years.
Forever.
I don't know, millions, but at least thousands of years.
Yeah.
Yes.
The original campfire. Only the high-tech version of the wood. So we go out into the woods. We gather wood. You say brush, but really we take that brush and put it into grinders and whatnot. And so when we bring this stuff back into town to the recycling center to get paid for the BTUs, it's probably pretty fine by the time we do that, right?
Yeah, it can be. Again, chippers and things like that can be a costly piece of equipment.
Yeah.
But there's ways that all this can be done. Your local dump already has this stuff already in place. You go out to any of the dumps here in the Santa Cruz area, you'll know that they have grinders and stuff out there already.
Right.
So there are companies that do take that already, but they just need to take that wood chip to one more form, and that is to a pellet form.
So, okay, so we have wood chips. We've gone out to the woods. We've scraped up all of the dirty stuff that we don't need, cleaned the forest floor, as it were, got rid of the snags, the dead stuff, turned them into wood chips, take it to the recycling center. They have to dry it.
Right.
And they can either put it in a kiln or spread it out.
Yeah, there are ways of drying it. A lot of these pellet mills have a drying system in the apparatus that, as it's going down a conveyor, it's getting hit with hot air that can take the water out of that wood
really quickly. Yeah.
And what they do a lot with lumber these days, if you were to buy, I'm getting ready to have a barn shipped from Indiana to here, and it's going to be green, but by the time it gets in a railroad car and comes across the country on a railroad car in the summer, all the water will be completely evaporated out of that lumber so that it's not so heavy for me to build my barn with.
There you go. So we dry it out. Then we still have chips. We're not pellets to the pellet yet. How do you turn the chips into a little tiny pellet?
It's kind of like a sausage maker. If you've ever had a sausage maker next to your table there and made stuff out of it, you just throw this wood in there, and it's high pressure, just grinds it into this 3/16 of an inch pellet, and it comes out ready to go.
There it is.
Yeah.
So it's not compressed together. It's not.
No, the lignins and the wood bind it together. There are no additives that you need to put in, no glue or anything like that needs to be done.
So okay, we're down to the pellets. Now we have to figure out what the heck to do with these pellets, because there's a lot of different things we can do. But I'm wondering about the possibility of generating electricity with it. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. And What's Eating What today is us. We're trying to eat the forest and do something real good with it, which has turned it into something useful that we can all make a living with. With us today, Warren Knox, who has made his living from the forest forever and still is. And you, we are with us as well. When we get back, what do we do with these wood pellets? Do stay tuned. Food Chain Radio program, right back. With us today, Warren Knox. He is a longtime woodsman. Now, how long has this technology been available, Warren?
I got extremely excited about this about 45 years ago.
So it's been around for a long time then.
It has, yes. Today there are furnaces and apparatuses that you can put outside of your home, and you have a thermostat inside your home that you would turn on. You don't even know that there's a fire burning.
But to burn those pellets, you have to go out and get the wood and turn it into pellets. So
correct.
Take us out in the woods and tell us how we go about doing
this.
Okay,
so you're going to go out to the woods with your pickup truck, so to speak, on a small scale, and you're going to load up your pickup truck with a bunch of brush. And you're going to be paid so much a pound for that wood. And the way that it's going to be paid for is its BTU content.
Oh, energy.
Energy.
Right.
So you will take it to a recycling center, which can be even your local dump or a business on its own, and they will reward you for that for that effort that you've done, and that will then be
well, you know,
such as an aluminum can, right. Beer can that you pick up on the road.
It would seem to make sense then for people who are doing this to drag a big chipper out into the forest, right?
Well, yeah, that would be the best way of doing it. As chippers and grinders, that's what is going to be the next step, is to take that wood and to grind it into the smaller pieces you can possibly get, so that we can get the water out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then you dry it? Just
dry it. It can be dried through using wood again to dry it, or it can be done naturally.
Which would be spreading it out like raisins.
Correct. Right.
Okay. Right. Get it really dry. And then, so you see this wood scrap as becoming economically viable.
Oh, yes. We're going to have to do something more with our energy. Unless we want to go out here and drill oil out in the bay out here, we're going to have alternative energy to help fuel things.
Mm-hmm. This seems to be going in exactly the opposite direction, though, that the environmental community wants us to go.
Well, that's true, but they're unaware of what's available out there. They just look at the fact that trees are being cut down. But if you were to look at, well, everybody knows what went on this year.
Yeah.
The amount of wood that went into carbon dioxide that went into our atmosphere this year is worse than everybody in the entire country burning their fireplace, is what it amounted to.
It did. It was just incredible. Yeah. For those of us who were downwind, my God.
Yeah, it was very unhealthy for a lot of people.
So this seems to be kind of turning everything upside down. So we're actually thinking about going back to that which has always sustained us, which is wood.
Wood has been here for millions
forever.
Of years. I don't know, millions, but at least thousands of years. Yeah. Yes.
The original campfire. Only the high-tech version of the wood. So we go out into the woods. We gather wood. You say brush, but really we take that brush and put it into grinders and whatnot. And so when we bring this stuff back into town to the recycling center to get paid for the BTUs, it's probably pretty fine by the time we do that, right?
Yeah, it can be. Chippers and things like that can be a costly piece of equipment. Yeah. Your local dump already has this stuff already in place. You go out to any of the dumps here in the Santa Cruz area, you'll know that they have grinders and stuff out there already.
Right.
So there are companies that do take that already, but they just need to take that wood chip to one more form, and that is to a pellet form.
So, okay, so we have wood chips. We've gone out to the woods. We've scraped up all of the dirty stuff that we don't need, cleaned the forest floor, as it were, got rid of the snags, the dead stuff, turned them into wood chips, take it to the recycling center. They have to dry it.
Right.
And they can either put it in a kiln or spread it out.
Yeah, there are ways of drying it. There, a lot of these pellet mills have a drying system in the apparatus that, as it's going down a conveyor, it's getting hit with hot air that can take the water out of that wood
really quickly. Yeah.
And what they do a lot with lumber these days, if you were to buy, I'm getting ready to have a barn shipped from Indiana to here, and it's going to be green, but by the time it gets in a railroad car and comes across the country on a railroad car in the summer, all the water will be completely evaporated out of that lumber, so that it's not so heavy for me to build my barn with.
There you go. So we dry it out, then we still have chips. We're not pellets to the pellet yet. How do you turn the chips into a little tiny pellet?
It's kind of like a sausage maker. If you've ever had a sausage maker next to your table there and made stuff out of it, you just throw this wood in there, and it's high pressure, just grinds it into this 3/16 of an inch pellet, and it comes out ready to go.
There it is.
Yeah.
So it's not compressed together. It's not.
No, the lignins and the wood bind it together. There are no additives that you need to put in, no glue or anything like that needs to be done.
So okay, we're down to the pellets. Now we have to figure out what the heck to do with these pellets, because there's a lot of different things we can do. But I'm wondering about the possibility of generating electricity with it. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. And What's Eating What today is us. We're trying to eat the forest and do something real good with it, which has turned it into something useful that we can all make a living with. With us today, Warren Knox, who has made his living from the forest forever and still is. And you, we are with us as well. When we get back, what do we do with these wood pellets? Do stay tuned. Food Chain Radio Program, right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Seems too good to be true. We've left our forests go for 50 years. They become a jumble of fuel, just waiting to catch fire, waiting for that devil wind to come by at the wrong time. And away they go. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can actually go into the forest and harvest trees. They come back. We can, as Patrick Moore said, if you want to have trees, you have to chop them down.
Well, we're going to have to get really, really smart now, because look at the amount of homes that burned up this year. I think the one fire, there were 18,793 structures burned just in the campfire this year. So those people are going to want to rebuild their homes, and they want to rebuild their barns and their structures. Where is that wood going to come from? We're not going to be able to go out and just cut down all these trees, because they're gone. So if we don't start managing our forests better and using everything that's possible out there to build with, A lot of the plywood today is made out of what we call, it's called OSB. It's chips with glue in it. They don't use plywood. They do use plywood, but not as much. They do use chips. So these
particle board, right?
Particle board type. It's called OSB, oriented strand board. So we can take these chips that come out of the forest and glue them together and use that for building as well. So not only can the forest be cleaned up for pellets, they can be cleaned up for many other things, because we're going to need a lot of wood here to rebuild.
Woo. And so it seems like we have to shift how we're seeing this whole business of tending our forests. For 50 years, you know, we've kind of seen the forest as nature. We city people look at it. It's so beautiful. We need to protect it. We need to keep people out of the forests. But I think we have to kind of change that perspective. We have to come back to that pioneering spirit of people who lived on the land and used the land to get by. And somehow there has to be, you know, a compromise there. I mean, we have to tend, we have to protect our nature, but we have to use it.
There's a lot that can be done with our college kids today, and even younger ages, where there's wildlife management that can be incorporated into this. There's soil engineers that can be coming out of college learning all about how to get this wood out of the forest without disrupting the soils and the erosion control. There's fish and game people that come out of college with a fish and game license or want to be a game warden. All these vocations can be incorporated into cleaning our forests up besides just looking at it from a, let's just grab that tree and run. Yeah.
So, Warren, my wife always accuses me of being 20 years ahead of my time. And are you 20 years ahead of your time?
I was 50 years ago. I'm hoping that I'm getting a little wiser as I get older here, but maybe the public will wake up and see what can be done here.
How do we find you?
Well, I'm in Scotts Valley.
Now, how do we get to your Knox box?
Well, there is a www.knoxgardenbox.com. It'll tell you how to grow your garden with
right
ease.
There on your deck. Warren, thank you so much for more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
Yeah.
Thinking about how we can turn our forests back into our garden.
Thanks, folks.
There you go. Thank you all for tuning in. Join us on the food chain page at metrofarm.com.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.